Mrs. Revy. Today is Teferes Shebenetzach. Teferes Shebenetzach. So I want to talk to you about Teferes Shebenetzach. I try that, whatever the day is of Sfira, to try to be connected to that particular midah, to talk about it, even though I don't say it overtly, but here I want to make it clear that we're talking about the union of Teferes Shebenetzach. What we're going to talk about now is a very, very big yesod in our Avodas Hashem. It's not complicated, it's very simple. It's simple to talk about. To live this way, of course, is an Avodah. But that's why Hashem put us here, to be over them, to work. What is the midah of Netzach? What does that mean, Netzach? So the word has a number of meanings. We're going to talk about the two most obvious to try to understand in Al Madrega, the midah of Netzach Bechlal, the first. Not sure how much time there'll be to talk about that aspect of that stuff, but so first of all, Chevra, what is a mila natzeach? It means to win. It means to win. Lenatzeach means to win. Nitzochne means victory. Lenatzeach. What is another meaning of the word natzach? Forever. Eternity. L'netzach netzachim. The connection between the two is very, very obvious. Between l'netzach, to be victorious, to win. Everybody wants to be a winner. Everybody wants to win. We're not always sure exactly what the competition is, but we all want to somehow win. And the definition of netzachim, of victory, is something that endures. It's something that's lenetzach. Lamash. If there's a war that's taking place, and on this particular day there's a skirmish in a little village someplace between the two sides, between the two countries, the fact that that particular village was conquered, was taken, doesn't mean that your army, your country, has been menatzeach, the enemy. Doesn't mean that. It means that along the way, this was a battle. As far as the nitzachon is complete, nitzachon is when something is lanetzach. Nitzachon is when something is forever. It doesn't mean that today it worked out. It means when it's lanetzach. Or another example, in this world, another example. If somebody is building a house, he doesn't make a siyum when he puts down the first brick to say, I'm now making a siyum on laying the first brick. It's a mahalach. Okay, he got past some of the obstacles and the paperwork, and he's actually beginning to build the house. But that's not the nitzachon. The nitzachon, as far as the house is concerned, you could say there is something of a nitzachon, that netzach, or the light of netzach, is experienced, is felt, is seen when the house is complete. And even when the light bulbs are put in, and when everything is up and working, then you could say that the builder or the owner can make a siyum, can make a chalukas abayis, that now this is a house. But putting down a brick or putting a pipe or a wire, that's not nitzachon. That's not being victorious. One of the annoying things that we used to hear is children. I was a person that enjoyed sports, not just watching but playing. And one of the things that they used to always tell us, the coaches or teachers used to say, this nusach, maybe you've heard it, could be it's changed over the years. It's not whether you win or lose, right? But what? Never heard that? It's how? How you play the game. It's not whether you win or lose. Did any of you ever feel that when you were playing ball? It's not whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game. Never felt that at all. It's all about whether you win or lose. As far as how you play the game, couldn't care less how you play the game. Elbows, kicking, tripping, depending on what sport it was. The point is to absolutely vanquish your opponent, to crush, to defeat, to humiliate and destroy. Couldn't care less about how you play the game. And that's how we grew up. Maybe it's nicer now. Maybe it's nicer. It doesn't make a difference whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game. That lashon we felt was for losers to begin. It's like for the guy that you put in short center field, you know what I mean? There's a certain nusach to make him feel good. But if you were a player, Bamis, you were a player, the tachlis, of course, was nitzachon lanetzach, and lanetzach means to vanquish. Gemarnim. Done with the opponent is finished. There's nothing left of the opponent. In the world, that's a winner. That's what's called winning. That's what it means to be menetzach, that the nitzachon has to be lanetzach in such a way. Now let's for a moment move over to a different world, to a softer, sweeter world of ruchnis. And we have a chavrusa, Reuven and Shimon. Both of these guys, Reuven and Shimon, are serious, sincere b'nei aliyah. They come to davening on time. They come to the seder in Bis Medrash on time. They come to the shir. They chazer. They take notes. They're good, good guys. Solid b'nei Torah. And they've been learning together for years. This is the difference between Reuven and Shimon. Reuven's dream and what gets him to the Bis Medrash, what motivates him, not always that he's thinking about it, but it's there, is he has this dream of being a Lamdan. He wants to be a Lamdan. You know what a Lamdan is? He wants to be a Lamdan. He wants to be somebody that knows his stuff, that's educated, that's knowledgeable, that's sharp, that can say over a good vart, you know, like a, you know, sitting at the table with other rabbis or something. He wants to be a Lamdan. Or maybe he's even dreaming of being a Rosh Hashiva. Or he thinks that he's going to be, you know, maybe he's going to go move back to Eretz Yisrael, he's going to be a Rosh Hashiva, one of these American, you know, yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, where if you're not a nephew or a grandson, it's unlikely you're going to get a job. But maybe. And he thinks he's going to get the job because he's going to be big Lamdan. And he sees himself Thursday night like having a Verbrengen and all these guys coming to his table and his rabbis and putting out some cholent and kugel on Thursday night. And everybody calling him Rebbe. How's Rebbe feeling? It's such a schus to be Rebbe's Talmud v'chul. Again, he's not nuts. He doesn't always think about that stuff, but it does Lichten Kopf, you know what I mean? Lichten Kopf. Even if you don't speak Yiddish, you know what I mean? It's sitting in his head, such a thing. So he can't waste a minute, you understand? So he learns. The future Lamdan. We used to have a lot of shmuz like this when I was growing up. You know, one day your picture will be in the you'll get a, you know, be in the Gedolim card or something. These kind of things. That's how Reuven goes to learn. His chavrusa Shimon is just as good a learner. He doesn't have his cheshbon. Could be, maybe he will go into Klei Kodesh, maybe not. Maybe he'll go into his father's business. He doesn't know. That's not the point right now in his life. But when Shimon is learning, and what gets Shimon to shul in the morning, and what gets him to the Bais Medrash and to the Shir, is not the anticipated victory of getting smicha. It's not that thought of my father putting his arm around me and with the rest of the family taking a picture, my son, the rabbi. And your aunt, you know, your aunt Bashi or something, saying, I'm so proud, you're the first rabbi in the family since the Elta Zaydi, who is the Rav of Chelm or something. You're the first rabbi in the family. Shimon doesn't have these chalimes, you understand? Shimon doesn't have any of these things. It's not about the victory of getting smicha and working towards that goal, which is such a big thing now, or the siyum, or the victory of being the rabbi in smicha, or the landing the yeshiva job, writing a sefer. There are people that they're like Bali Tshuva, and after 2 weeks they're already writing Divrei Torah on the computer, and they're putting together svarim. Yeah, this is the time we're living in. That's not what gets Shimon to the Bais Medrash. You know what gets Shimon to the Bais Medrash? And he gets the shul on time. None of this business lying around the bed. Oy vey, oy vey. He gets the shul. Shul. Davins, goes to learn. You know what? One thought. There's a creator of the universe who I believe in with all of my heart. For whatever reason why I believe in him, I believe in him. And I was taught and I believe because I learned in Tanya Nefesh Chaim and I understand and I realize that there's no greater way of being dovid to the master of all the worlds than learning his Torah and entering into his brain. There's no greater embrace of the King of all kings than that moment when I'm sitting and I'm learning Tosfos or Black Gemara or a piece of Masilas Yesharim or a pasuk in Navi. And I believe be'emuna shleima that every word of davening is mamish shashuim shashuim nifloim. The Kadosh Baruch Hu has nachas and oinig, what the Kedushas Levi was talking about in Tazvia. Nachas and oinig that the Baruch Shalom has. Isha ki Tazvia v'yolda zocha. Mamish v'yolda zocha. You learn Kedushas Levi? It's v'yolda zocha that I'm mashpia kiv'yohol to the Baruch Shalom. I give him nachas. Me, a boss of Adam. I give nachas to the Bari Kalalam. I give nachas. I give oinig to the Bari Kalalam. Pleasure and delight to the Bari Kalalam. I'm not asking how Shimon believes in that. But that's Shimon. That's what Shimon believes. So now the question is, who's the winner? Who's the loser? Let's talk for a minute. Netzach. By Ruvain, the smicha, you know, future. Not there's anything we're going for smicha. I'm not chalila. I'm just saying but that's his whole cheshbon, right? That by Ruvain, the nitzachin is by smicha, right? That's the victory. That's the end zone. When he gets the prize, or the Shiva position, or the sefer he writes, that's it. If it doesn't work out, he's a loser. Even along the way, if he didn't understand Pshat and Taisus, he's a loser. Because one of his qualifications to getting smicha and being Rosh Hashiva and writing the Sefer is that he should be a person that understands Taisus. So he's a loser. The chances of him being a winner and feeling like a winner are very slim. If you have any doubts about that, just get a sense of how happy, in general, Yeshiva Bachram look like in the world. Or former Yeshiva students, when they grow older and they have to go to work, after hearing 4,000 shmuzin about if you work, your life is worthless because you're a loser. Because what became of all your Torah? Nothing. You have a job like any other loser. You work in a store, you work in a shop or something, you work in a firm, you're a loser. You'd be matzliach, you'd have your face on the gedolim card. You'd be a shiva or you'd be a mechaba. You're a loser. Shimon, the one who's learning is not a din in the chevtze of a Talmud Chacham or a Lamdan or a Shiva. It's a din in the Gavra. It's a din in that moment that I'm in right now. I wouldn't trade for anything in the world because right now this Tosfos is Divrei Elokim Chayim Mamash. These are the words of the living God. and I'm tasting a taste of the living God when I'm reading these words. It means that this Jew, Shimon, every single moment that he's learning, he's in a world that's called Tiferes Shebenetzach. That pride, Tiferes Shebenetzach, of being a person who's Menatzeach. What is he being Menatzeach? What is he defeating? He's defeating the urge to stay in bed for another 2 hours. He's defeating the urge to give in to a taiva that's disgusting, that's ugly, that would pull him away from all that he's trying to accomplish. He's defeating the darker part of who he is, and he's tasting the unbelievable, delicious taste of victory. And that taste of victory that he has this moment has nothing to do with whether he's going to succeed tomorrow. This is a moment of netzach, teferes shebenetzach, of nitzuach, of nitzachon, of overcoming that impulse inside of him that says, nah, God doesn't care if you daven, God doesn't care if you learn. Let me give you some practical signs or ways of detecting or figuring out whether you're a Reuven guy or you're a Shimon guy. Let's take a Reuven guy. The Reuven guy might still be asleep in one of the dormitory rooms right now. Last year he was like a star in Reishis or Shraga or Leiv HaTorah, one of these places. He was a star, right? Or it could be in the Mirror or in Brisk, wherever. He was a star. So why is this guy in bed at 10 o'clock in the morning? How come he didn't daven yet? It's a good kasha, no? It's a fair kasha. He believes in God. He believes in Shulchan Aruch. What's he doing in bed? So Reuven is still in bed at 10 o'clock because Reuven has this thought. When I was in Yeshiva Neitz Yisrael, I was a winner. Oh, was I a winner. I was a top guy. I was first guy in shul. I had a chavrusa 15 minutes before davening. And this and that. And I set up all kinds of fancy stuff. I was gewaldi. Because then I was a davener. And I was a learner. But since then, I hooked up with my old girlfriend. Since then, I started looking at some old sites on the computer. Since then, v'chula, v'chula, v'chula. So this morning, when healthy, normal people are either working or going to daven or something, he's still lying in bed. Why? Because he looks at himself as being a complete loser. Because the victory was being the davener, being the learner. I'm not a learner, I'm not a davener. What am I? I'm just, I'm a phony, a fake. I'm the same boy I was in high school, except I have some whiskers for sphere. I'm the same guy that was in high school. Same guy can't take his head, he sees a girl, he can't not look at it. Same guy. So I'm a loser. And losers lie in bed till 11 o'clock in the morning, you understand? I'm a loser, Batson. Because winning meant my accomplishments, my goals that I set out to achieve. That's called winning. And that's all we're taught. That's all we're taught, that's what it means, winning. And you've even seen that in some Svarim, in Musa Svarim especially. That's what's called to win. Anything other than that is losing. Not getting to that presumed or anticipated goal is called losing. So Reuven is lying in bed because he lost. So hifsadeti, fisfasti, whatever your Hebrew that you know, I botched up, I lost, I'm a loser. Maybe one day I'll be a winner. Maybe one day I'll get back on track and I'll be somebody that will finish the Bavli Yerushalmi, make all kinds of seams and invite my friends and people say, hey, look how we bounced back, it's gewaldi. You know, but ben atayim, in the meantime, hifsadeti, I'm a loser. I'm a loser and I'm not proud of myself. There's no netzach, there's no teferes of a netzach. I'm a loser. Be'etzim, I'm a loser. Let me take another example. This is like Gashmis Ruchnis, but listen carefully. This will help make it clear. We'll use the same two guys, Reuven and Shimon. Both Reuven and Shimon are overweight. Say that. Both Reuven and Shimon want to lose some weight. Yofi. Why does Reuven want to lose weight? Reuven set a goal for himself that he wants to lose 50 pounds from now until Sukkot. He wants to lose 50 pounds. We interview Reuven, why do you want to lose 50 pounds? Akasha, I want to be able to feel good. I want to be able to be healthy and fit. I want to be able to get into that suit that I used to wear. And I, you know, so what do you want to do? I want to get down to, you know, I want to lose 50 pounds. I want to get down to that weight. I'm going to train. I'm going to work out. Okay. Can't have a tiny, it's a good thing. To be healthy is a wonderful goal. To get into, to fit into his outfit, it's good. Say that. So he's on a strict diet. Could be he's even a juicer. Strict diet, no food, whatever. 50 pounds, that's the tachlis. Get into the suit, that's the tachlis. Look good, that's the tachlis. To meet up with like some girl that he once knew, and the girl's gonna say, whoa, look at Avi, whoa, or Reuven, whatever. That's the tachlis. Now we talk to Shimon. Shimon's also on the diet. You ask Shimon, Shimon, what's the story with you, Shimon? Why are you dieting? So first I'll say, you don't see that I'm overweight. No, I understand. But like, what is it that's motivating you to do this? So this is what Shimon says. Listen to this. Shimon says, the reason that I'm dieting is because I recognized at some point along the way that I had become a behemoth. I realized last week at the smorgasbord, in that hole, whatever it is, they all look the same. I realized after I knocked over the 80-year-old lady to get to the spare ribs, I realized that I'm a behemoth. And there's something that's called taivas ha'achila. Taivas ha'achila. A taiva to eat. And I decided that I'm not going to be a behemoth. I'm not going to let that taiva rule over my life. I understand that a person should eat, and it's okay to enjoy something, but I'm going to defeat the taivas ha'achila. I'm going to fight against the taivas ha'achila. Not because I have to look, not because of the 50 pounds, although he also has a program he's on, not because of that. Because of the taivas ha'achila, it doesn't become a mom and a Jew to be somebody that's a slave to achila, to eating. Taivas ha'achila. What's the drinking, by the way? All the guys with the bottles. Also, it's also a shibud, you understand? Don't tell me the health. Everybody walking around nowadays with Starbucks and with bottles and with coffees and with waters. All kinds of these. It's all taivas. These all shibudim. I'm not saying I'm any different. These are all taivas and shibudim. So you're meshubud. Walking around with bottles like drunks. Everybody has to have, you can't go with a half hour without water or something. Also, it's a taiva. It's a better taiva to have for water than for coffee. It's also a taiva. These are all shibudim. A person makes up in his mind, must speak. I'm a Yehudi. I'm a Jew. I'm not meshubed to not a drink and not to a piece of food. I have a certain, I'll eat like this and I'll eat like that. My father's always said, because my sister used to with the dieting and when I was younger, working out, and now my father would say to me, why don't you try the Mordecha Weinberger diet? My father said, I said, what's that, Daddy? My father's name is Mordecha. My father said, why don't you try eating less? You ever hear that diet? It's an interesting concept. Eat less. Yeah, try eating less. And why don't you stop eating all that fried stuff that's bad for you? This is about taiva. You can't stay away from French fries. Like, yeah, you can't stay away from a piece of kugel. You have to have a second, third piece of kugel. Why don't you try that's the Weinberger diet? It's not. There's no book, because you can't sell books like that, right? It's called Eat Less. Stop being a baltaiva. All the diets that they make is, so you should be able to be the biggest baltaiva, and you can satisfy this taiva by having, like a friend of mine, that back in the 60s, the late 60s, early 70s, there was a milkshake diet. And this guy went on to the milkshake. All you drink are milkshakes. And he gained like 40 pounds. Didn't eat anything. Even Shabbos, he had milkshakes, even Shabbos. His mother said to me once in shul, I met the mother leaving shul, she said, he drinks milkshakes the whole time, and he's gaining weight. He says it's a diet. All the diets are to say you could be a big baltaiva, but be a taiva for this. Have a taiva for this. What's the taiva? For my diet, so I can sell a million books, so you have a taiva for my diet. And I'm going to make you think that this is going to satisfy your taiva, so you can still be a baltaiva. That's Reuven. Shimon's inyan is, the game is over. This is a lie, this is a joke. I'm not a baltaiva, plain and personal of a baltaiva. Must speak. Now, what's the difference? The difference is as follows. If Reuven gets the 50 pounds, he loses the 50 pounds, he's a Menatzeach. You understand? He won. If he drops 50 pounds, he's Menatzeach. From what I read, studies show that especially when it comes to very radical diets, the vast majority of people on radical diets, they end up getting more weight in the end than they were ever before. That's what studies seem to show. At least the one that I read was already a while ago. When it's very radical diets. So it turns out that Reuven most likely is going to end up being what? A loser. Because he's going to gain back some weight. Even more, right? Turns out that he's a loser. If Reuven gets into the soup, the day gets into the old soup, he's a winner. If 3 weeks later, doesn't close, he's a loser. What about Shimon? Shimon, every time he felt like taking that French fry, and he said, "Lo, it's not healthy. I'm not meshubet to food. I don't have to walk around with a snack every 15 minutes or a drink. I'm not meshubet. I'm an ish eloki. I'm a godly person. I'm an oved elok Hashem. I have a nefesh elokis. I'm not a goof without a neshama. I have a neshama. I have to control myself. Not because of how I'm going to look or where it's going to get me, but because be'etzem, I want to be a winner. And to defeat that taiva of taiva sachil in a healthy, normal way. Not something crazy, God forbid. In a normal way. You have to eat, you have to be. And you could enjoy also, but not to be about taiva. Not to be about taiva. So now, Reuven's nitzachon is very circumstantial. It depends on the circumstances of his life. It depends on whether it came other yah or the name. Maybe yes, maybe no. Today yes, tomorrow no. Shimon, every moment that he holds back and he says, "Look, who menatzeach?" You understand? Teferes shebenatzeach, mamish. Teferes shebenatzeach. He's filled with that pride of the nitzachon, of being able to menatzeach. Tomorrow he gave into the French fries. That's a different parasha. But hayom, who menatzeach? Look inside what Rav Nosson says. In Birchas Ariyah, Ikar Nitzachon Hu Nitzachon Nitzchi. Ikar Nitzachon is Nitzachon Nitzchi. Is a Nitzachon that's forever. That doesn't mean that it lasts forever, because it might not. Because the guy Shimon might give into the French fries tomorrow. So what's the Nitzchi? So Rav Nosson writes, Dainu Misha Zoichel Nitzach Es Atzmo. Not the other guy in the basketball court. That's a different kind of Nitzachon. But Menatzech is Atzmo. Menatzech, Tavois of Amidois of Aroim. You feel like getting angry? This moment, you controlled your anger. This moment, you are Menatzech. And Hashem writes that down, and it's in Yitzachin, which is Lanetzach. Even though tomorrow you might get angry, but this moment of Dveikus Bashem, of doing Hashem's will, that's something that Hashem Baruch Hu writes in the Sefer Chaim Mamish, in the Sefer Zikaron, that on this day, in the month of Iyar, in Tavshinayin Ches, that Shlomo ben Sara was Menatzeach. That's Nitzchis, because Hashem is Nitzchis. Hashem is Ein Sof. And you're connecting to the Infinite One. This moment of learning, this moment of davening, I'm connecting to the Infinite One, Mamish. Infinite, Ein Sof, Netzach. When I daven, when I learn, it's Netzach, infinite. Even if tomorrow I don't daven, Chas V'Shalom, doesn't change the Nitzchis of this moment I'm in. Menatzech is called a roitzim lamonim in the kudas emes. He's able to be menatzech anybody or anything that's in the way of him seeking the truth. To make him distant from his father in heaven. Since the person's kavana is l'shamayim be'emes, is really, really like Shimon, which is to serve God, not to get to the smicha, the rabbi, or the siyum, or the whatever, or the weight, but it's to do the right thing, it's to serve Hashem. Hu menatzeach tamid. Every moment that he overcomes himself or that darker impulse in himself, hu menatzeach tamid echshi. He's a winner. That guy's not lying in bed at 10 o'clock in the morning. Hu menatzeach. Because a person whose intentions are be'emes, for the sitra de kedusha, for the side of holiness, to do Hashem's will, and to be a Jew, Ech shemesnai gimo menesech tamid. Menesech tamid. You're always a winner. Ki kol pu'ulo tnuo ktano gedoyle. Everything that you do, that's good. Whether it's a pula utnua, even a movement, a gesture, whether it's ketana gadola, whether it's putting a penny in the pushka or $100 into the pushka, any tiny little tnua or pula, a movement, an act, a thought, a word, whether it's tiny or it's big, sha'isa b'shvila nitzochen hazeh, that you do it for the sake of this nitzochen, over what? Over yourself, over that part of you that doesn't want to do the right thing. He nisheres kayemis lenetzach, la'ol me'ad lenetzach nesach. It lives on and on, lenetzach la'ol me'elam forever. Ki ein hakadosh baruch hu mekapech schar kol bri. Hashem gives a person a reward for every tiny, no matter what you do, that's good. I feel this chas chino. Even if you say a good word to somebody, you say to somebody a good word to give a little chizik, you smile to somebody. Hashem has lenetzach lenetzach. It's down. Kumeshom Yishai brings a pasuk. Ki rak Hashem is baruch, v'chol ha'chafetzim lasas v'tzoynet v'emetz. Because only Hashem is forever, and all those Jews who sincerely desire to do His will, heim zoichel b'chinas netzach. The zoichel for this b'china that's called netzach. Haynu b'chinas nitzochen ha'amiti, and that's nitzochen ha'amiti. That's called true victory. Not like on the basketball court. That's true victory. The next day, he crushes you. Not like the diet. The next day, you're fatter than you were before. That's nitzochen ha'amiti. Bechinas netzach Yisrael lo yishakeh. Netzach Yisrael, that the Jewish people, netzach Yisrael, are victorious. And our victory is a victory that's lo yishakeh. It's real. It's forever. Avol shar nitzchaynus, Reb Nosson says, all other so-called nitzchaynus victories, heim kulam sheker. It's a big thing to say. Heim kulam sheker. They're all sheker. All nitzchaynus are sheker. Because they're all relative and dependent and b'chul b'chul. Kulam sheker. The only thing that's emes, lamita, that's nitzchius, is the ein soif baruch hu. Ein soif, the one who is infinite. So, on that day in 1943, the Nazi is throwing a Jew into the oven, and the Nazi is laughing. He thinks he's menatzer. He's victorious. He's victorious. Last Sunday, in one of the big yeshivas, in one of the yeshivas in the five towns, they had like a father-son thing. I wasn't there, even though because I was giving a shiur during that time in shul, but my grandchildren were there, with my son-in-law, and some other people told me that you should know that. That was in Darche, that Rabbi Bender mentioned your father. He was talking to the kids and the fathers, and he mentioned my father. So I said, what did Rabbi Bender said about my father? So Rabbi Bender and my father davened together in the same shtibli. Sometimes he davened in the yeshiva. My father davened in Farakwe in the shtibli across the street from his house, right across the street. And very, very often Rabbi Bender walks my father back and forth. It's very sweet. He has one of the yeshiva bachim walk my father. My father to walk across the street, it takes a while. Every step takes a while. And Rabbi Bender noticed that when they go back after Milchama, my father goes straight home. And he would walk with him straight home. But when it's the morning, my father would pause a number of times, longer. And Rabbi Bender asked my father, Mr. Weinberger, why do you pause more? Like, why does it take longer to go? Are you okay? So my father said to Rabbi Bender, I didn't hear, my father didn't tell this to me, but Rabbi Bender said in the yeshiva. But my father said, in the morning, all the school buses are picking up the children, and the children are waiting on the corner, where the yeshiva children, the girls, the boys, they're waiting over there. And my father says, I like to see the children. I like to look at the children. And Rabbi Bender says, you like the children? My father says, because the children to me, my father says, the children mean. Rabbi Bender said it with my father's accent. He imitated my father. He said, We won. My father said, we won. Because my father's one of those people in concentration camp. So my father says, we won. So the German throwing the Jew into the oven, he saw himself, he's a Humanetzeach. Nitzach, Tfershe, Benetzach. Yimach Shemo. My father's looking at the kids going into the school bus. My father says, Nitzachnu. You understand? This is what Rabbi Nosson received from his Rabbi, Rabbi Nachman. Nachman is the Gematria Netzach. Rabbi Nachman said before he died, Netzachti, what? Vanatzeach. I was 38 years old. Netzachti Vanatzeach. I have been victorious and I will be victorious. 38 years old, tuberculosis. Netzachti Vanatzeach. We have perfectly healthy guys. The guy's in his dormitory room right now. We can go around with a candle like Bedikas Chametz and find these guys. Get out of bed. What are you doing in bed? Lo natzachti, hefsadati. Unfortunately, you're 19 years old. You already lost? To who did you lose? What are you lying there in bed? We won. Netzach Yisrael Yishak. What does it mean to be menatzeach? Sometimes you have a taiva. We were talking about taiva zachila. No. Taiva zachila is already a kleinikai. What about a taiva the person has to look, God forbid, on the phone, something, the computer, something disgusting? A lot of chevra are suffering from this taiva, terrible. So when a person looks at himself as being a loser because he gives into that taiva every now and then, he gives into that taiva, so then he just lets go of himself. That's how he ends up in bed in the morning. I believe 90% of those guys that can't get up for davening, it has to do with this taiva. That's what I believe, because I talk to a lot of guys. 90% of it. You have no motivation, no drive. Besides that, the Svarim tells us this in many, many places. No cheshek, no drive. No inyan to daven, no feeling for coming to a shir on time, coming to a seder on time. 90% is because of this taiva. 90%. That's already a modest estimate. 90%. It mamish is a reflection of the machla of our generation, of young men that have no energy, young men that are deflated without energy, that the girls don't know who to marry anymore. They don't know who to marry. If I ask my husband, would you mind putting in the light bulb, he says, You don't stop asking me that. She said, we never put it in. I'm asking you for 4 years to put in a light bulb. I'm insulted. You're asking me, are you insinuating that I'm not a hardworking person? So she rolls her eyes and says, honey, I ain't insinuating. You're a good-for-nothing, lazy bum. I ain't insinuating. All these women that are stuck with their unmotivated guys that have no energy because life has been so hard. There was an article, and my wife told me in one of the Jewish magazines, there was a debate going on in the letters about this guy comes back from himself from yeshiva, and his mother wrote, I would never ask my son to work, to help prepare for Pesach after this man that he put in yeshiva. Oh my goodness, give me a break. So the other lady wrote back, basically, give me a break. This woman said, it's not bekavadik that I should ask my son to ben Torah, that he should bring me a cup of coffee in the morning. I wouldn't dare tell this to my father. Can you imagine? Tell this to a person like from the old world. You wouldn't dare go to your tuchus to bring your mother a cup of coffee? She wouldn't dare ask her ben Torah of his son, his whole schiet to be in this world. Even if he did have a good zman, which I'm a supik if he did. I'm a supik, I'd like to see what was going on Teves. Teves, you know, at 11 o'clock in the morning. Yerushalayim is very crowded with a lot of chevra, you know, on the streets, not in the Bis Medrash always. But I'm not going to ask my ben Torah to bring me a cup of coffee or to help me with clean for Pesach, the chametz. But that's his whole schiet to be in the world is to help his mother. So the other parents like, what are you talking? Are you out of your mind? Thank God somebody wrote back normal like, you're not going to ask your ben Torah. He's a king. He's a ben Melachim. A ben Melach helps his mother. My poor baby. It's Ben Azmanim. He goes to Davin, he finds a minion at 10:30 someplace. Poor baby. Put in such a hard year in the yeshiva. It was so hard for him. Oy, so many taisus, so many bikivegas. He can't get up for davening now. It's Ben Azmanim. He can't lift the chumash with Rashi. It's heavy, you know. It's Ben Azmanim. I don't learn Ben Azmanim. It's heavy for me. And then you want girls to marry these guys. There's the maisa. The girls are like regular, normal, happy people. They're motivated because they don't have the inyan. They don't have that elephant in the room of Pagam HaBris, you understand? Who are these guys that they can't get up in the morning? Who are these guys that they want to get like a pin because they were learning in this? They went to the Beis Medrash in the morning. They want to get a pin. I get an award because I came to learn in the morning. You get that at work? You think you're going to walk into work and your boss is going to put a pin on you and say, "So I'm so proud of you." Your Rebbe has to stand here watching who comes to the Shia today. Who comes to davening today? I'm so proud of you. Everybody has to give a lot of positive reinforcement now, right? It's a big thing. Positive reinforcement. Oh, you're so good. You came to, what's your name again? Daniel? Came to davening this morning. Oh, I'm so proud of you. What a special Jew you are. You came to shul this morning. Oh, what time did you daven in Menya, Daniel, this morning? 9 o'clock. I'm so proud of you. 9 o'clock is almost mincha. I don't mean to embarrass you, chalila. Please be marked. I don't mean to. It's endemic of what's going on in the world. Please be marked. I thought you were going to say 7. I'm sorry. 9 o'clock. Mincha. My father's 95 years old. He was up this morning at 4:30 saying Tehillim. He's not taking finals. Poor Daniel. He doesn't have such a hard life being a young man. No, it's very hard. It's hard being, it's hard, no, it's a hard life. Yeah, very hard life, no? Very, very hard. You have to take notes. You have to do homework. It's a very hard life. And these are girls have to marry these guys. And then there's a shidduch crisis. The whole thing is a galachta. The shidduch crisis. Who are the girls supposed to marry? There are plenty, Baruch Hashem, plenty, plenty, plenty of unbelievable, motivated, excited Shimons. But the Ruvains are losing. The Ruvains are losing bad, bad, bad. The Ruvains are losing very badly. When you don't have this midah of Teferesh Benetzach, the pride of being Menetzeach, Gamma Bris, you're not babies. Of course, this guy looks at himself as being a lowlife. Why can't he go to shul? Why is he unmotivated? He looks at himself as being a lowlife. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, I was clean for 6 months. I didn't look at any bad things on the computer. Now I start looking again, so I'm no good. So why should a guy like me is going to go to shul? A guy like me is going to get up and dive. I'm going to go dive. I'm going to go learn. Come on. The whole thing is a joke. I'm a faker. So from where should he have any motivation? He's a loser. You have a different guy, Shimon. This is how Shimon lives. Shimon's also having a problem. It's a big Muhammad. We all know that. It's understandable. The guy's a normal. It's okay. It's a taiva. Shimon, though, has this attitude. Shimon's attitude is, last night, I watched that stuff. I shouldn't have watched it. Tonight, I'm not going to watch it. And he doesn't. Natsachti, nitsachti, v'anatseach. He's a bal nitsachin already. Ah. You know what it feels like to be menatseach? To be Menatzeach. I was Menatzeach. I was Menatzeach. This morning, before I came here, this morning after davening, I already sent out this morning 17 messages to different chevra. Teferes, I just wrote Teferes Shebenetzeach. Who are these chevra? These are chevra that are struggling with the singing of that type. And they sent me already early this morning. Then they and such and such day, not of serious aimer, but such and such day that I'm clean. Nitzachte, you're bal menatzeach. You're bal nitzach. Teferesh benetzach. Ah, to feel proud of being menatzeach today. Hayom, mashiach machar. What's tomorrow? Every day is a mulchama. Every day is a mulchama. And to be a person who sees himself as a winner. Shimon feels that excitement of being Menatzeach. Reuven, even though he fails sometimes also. You know, you win some, you lose some. But he's a winner. Be'etzim, he's a winner. But Reuven, he's got himself a loser. That's why he's still in bed. I'm a loser. I can't. He's completely disempowered himself by his mistaken way of identifying, of defining what Nitzachon means. He can't get himself going. I think by now you understand that when I said to you at the beginning that I want to talk about something important, you understand it's important. It's mamish something which our lives depend on, what we're talking about now. Mamish what our lives depend on. Not at some point in the future I'm going to be. Azovitze. That whole thing, what I'm going to be in the future. Whatever, you have to tell your parents, you have to get a job, all that stuff is, take care of it. You have to take care of it. But be'etzem, why I was put into this world? The avoid is avoid of teferish shibanetz. Lenatzeach. That's why David HaMelech, who is open about his struggles. David HaMelech, his negunim are negunim that are called lam natzeach mizmoladav. The conductor, lam natzeach. When a Jew is besimchin, he's able to sing a nigun, he's called minatzeach. Lam minatzeach. A conductor of a choir is called a minatzeach. It's an interesting thing. What's that? What's the nitzach in lam natzeach? All the low notes and the high notes to be able to make a song, that's a person's life. And with all that David HaMelech went through, when Chazal tells there was a time in his, there was a time in his life that he was thinking of running away from Eretz Yisrael to become an Oved Avodah Zarah. David HaMelech was, there was a time that he was thinking of quitting, of leaving Yiddishkeit, of going off the derech. Afal pichei David HaMelech, mizmor l'David, lam natzeach l'fnei kar, lam natzeach mizmor l'David, lam natzeach mizmor l'David. Some days are better. That's the David Mizmor, the Mizmor LaDavid. Some days the David Mizmor, some days Mizmor LaDavid. But David HaMelech came out with a song. And it's the song of the life of a Jew who was a Menatzeach. Even though there were times that he wasn't successful in overcoming that taiva, whatever David HaMelech in his level, we don't understand. But Be'etzem, when he looked back on his life, which wasn't long, when he looked back on his life, relatively speaking, it wasn't long, but when he looked back on his life, he was able to say, Nitzachti Va'anatzeach. I was victorious. And the story is not finished. I will be victorious. The kibushim that Rabbi Nachman is making now, the kibushim that David HaMelech is making now, Eze Nitzach. Eze Nitzach. Eze Nitzach. What a gewaldige Nitzach. Hashem Yisbarach already put each and every one of us on the winning team. We have to get off the bench, you know. We're not saying get off the bench. Hashem's book should help each and every one of us, since each one in his own way is trying to be menatzeach, that we should be zoichim mitzvah Hashem to be the celebration of the final and ultimate victory, and all of us are going to be able to say we won. We defeated Amalek, we defeated Hitler, we defeated the Taivas, the Yetzaharas, we defeated them. We're people who are winners. We're people who are winners. Hashem Shisbach should help us, that we should be there on that day to sing the song of Lam Natzeach Mizmor L'David, to sing the Shirs and the Zmirs of David Malka Mashiach, with the blessing of Amitis, maybe Amen, Amen, Amen. I'm